Krishna's incarnations are ordinary material creatures and therefore they distinguish between the beautiful and the not beautiful. A certain form of the Lord is worse than a particular quality because he loves to see that form of the Lord, as stated in Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Achyutam Annatam, Anantarupam Adyam Purana Purushottam Yogam Chakram. A very beautiful form of the Lord is always beautiful. Sincere servants of a particular form of the Lord always see that form as very beautiful unless they engage in constant devotional service to him. Next 30, O my Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you who have assumed the form of a tortoise. You are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities and being entirely untainted by matter. You are perfectly situated in pure goodness. You move here and there in the water, and no one can discern your position. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Because of your transcendental position, you are not limited by past, present, and future. You are present everywhere as the shelter of all things, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Therefore, in the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Goloka Evaniva Satyakilatma Bhuta. The Lord always remains in Goloka, the topmost planet of the spiritual world. At the same time, he's all pervading. This paradox is only possible for the Supreme Personality of God, who is full of all opulences. The Lord's all pervasiveness is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna states, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Kritesh Arjuna Tishtati, and the Supreme Lord is seated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. Elsewhere, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sangha Silvatasya Gyanama Bodham Chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Therefore, although the Lord is present everywhere, he cannot be seen with ordinary eyes. As Aryamar says, the Lord is Anupa Lakshita Stana. No one can locate him. This is the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Him. Oh my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you who have assumed the form of a tortoise, but a reservoir of all transcendental qualities. And being entirely untinged by matter, you are perfectly situated in pure goodness. You move here and there in the water, and no one can discern your position. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because of your transcendental position. You are not limited by past, present, and future. You are present everywhere as the shelter of all things, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. So, here is, after Ramika Varsha, we see here a description of the worship in Hiranmaya Varsha, which literally means the golden Varsha. And here, the Lord is worshipped by Aryama, one of the Devatas. He is worshipped as Varma, one of the avatars of the Supreme Lord in the form of a tortoise. So the tortoise form is known for appearing when the devas and demons wanted to churn the milk ocean and get nectar. And they did that by taking from under a mountain and attaching Vasuki the snake to it as a churning rope and trying to churn the ocean. But the mountain fell into the water, or milk, so to speak. So, and then Kurma appeared and supported the whole mountain, and then they churned it on its back. And in this way, the nectar was produced. So therefore, the Lord, in the form of Kurma, assisted the devatas and demons in their attempt to get that nectar, which ultimately was won by the devatas. They got the nectar ultimately. So it was a assistance to the devatas and also to the demons. So here in this Varsha, the inhabitants worship this particular form of the Lord. Of course, we see that this form is not currently worshipped much. In India, we don't see many Kurma temples. There's one Kurma temple in edge of Orissa. And Andhra Pradesh up there, Kurmastan. It's one place that where Lord Chaitanya went. But other than that, I don't think we see many temples. Similarly, of course, Matsya temples, we don't see many. So, not so popular as, let's say, Varaha or Narasimha or Rama, etc. But nevertheless, there is a few temples nowadays. But here in this particular Varsha, here in Maya Varsha, which is on the top, on say, the northern side of Mount Meru, we find that Aryama and others are worshipping this form with great devotion. So the prayer begins with a description of his godly nature in spite of being a tortoise. Still, he has all the qualities of the Supreme Lord. So, one of the qualities of the Supreme Lord, of course, is very common quality, is he's very great, which can have different meanings such as power or size. Okay? So, he is great in all ways. So that here is expressed by the word Bhumna, or Bhuman. The Lord is called Bhuman, or very huge, a great one, in the sense that he can go everywhere. He is all pervasive. So this is one quality of the Supreme Lord, which is unique. Of course, you can say that Jiva also is pervading because he pervades his body. Or we can say Akash pervades everywhere in the material world. Whatever. But the Supreme Lord, of course, pervades everywhere in spiritual and material worlds. And though we can say Akash pervades everything or whatever, goes everywhere, still, that is a material substance only. The Lord is a conscious entity. And he pervades everything with his consciousness. So he is everywhere and he's aware of everything. Whereas Akash goes everywhere in the material world, but is not aware of everything. So there's a distinction there also. So therefore the real great one who is all pervasive is only the Supreme Lord. No material element nor the Jiva could compare with the Supreme Lord. So that is his designation. It is similar, of course, to the word Brahman. The root of the word Brahman also means greatness. That which is great. So again, of course, we can apply greatness to so many things. But the ultimate great person is the Supreme Lord again. Apart from this, the Lord also has another quality. He is called Varshma. Varsha, of course, is year. So, Varshmane Namaha. To offer respects to one who is, possesses all years, which means he's eternal. He is the oldest. He exists before anything else. So, of course, the argument can always be given, well, jivas are also eternal. Property is also eternal. So in that sense, we cannot say the Lord exists before everything else. However, as far as the material world is concerned, we can say that the Lord is there, and though Prakriti exists and Jivas exist, they are not manifest. They are all within Mahavishnu. And when the Lord wills, then they become manifested. So in that sense, they don't manifest except through the Supreme Lord. So there, in that sense, their manifestation is there at a certain point. And before that, the Lord exists. So that is also, of course, mentioned in the Upanishad, where it says, in the beginning, only he exists, only one exists. and then everything happens. So in that sense, that there's no manifestation of jivas and prakriti, even though they're eternal. So their manifestation is caused by the Supreme Lord at a certain point in time. Apart from that, of course, we do have jivas in the spiritual world. I mean, has spiritual energy existing eternally also. The Dhamma of the Lord is eternal, and the jivas in the spiritual world are eternal. So they are not unmanifest. This unmanifestation takes place in the material world, where we find that there is pralaya, and everything disappears and appears again. We don't find that in the spiritual world. So in that sense, we can say they're also eternal, and therefore the oldest, or whatever. However, again, their eternal nature depends upon the Supreme Lord. So we say that the Lord is Nitya Nityanam. He is the eternal among all eternals. He is the chief eternal. We can't say it's more eternal, because eternal is eternal. But why is he called the eternal among the eternals? Not because the length of life is different. They're all eternal. You can never be created, never be destroyed. But because all the other eternal things depend upon the Supreme Lord. They serve the Supreme Lord. So therefore, they are called dependent eternals. So if the jivas in the Supreme World and all the different shaktis and whatever that manifest the spiritual world are all dependent upon the Supreme Lord. So they are eternal but dependent upon him. So therefore, he is the chief eternal among all eternal things. Anupalakshita sthana means he who cannot be perceived, or whose position cannot be perceived. Of course, if we have spiritual eyes, yes, we can perceive the Supreme Lord. But for people with material eyes, it is impossible. And for people with spiritual eyes, even then, it is up to the Supreme Lord. He can appear or disappear as he pleases from anyone. So, he can appear and disappear to the gopis, etc. So, therefore, we cannot say that anybody at will in the spiritual world can see the Lord. No, they can. It's up to the Lord's will. And of course, in the material world, no one can see the Lord. But the Lord will reveal himself if he so chooses to. He can reveal himself to the devotees, and he can reveal himself even to the demons if he wants to. And when he comes to the material, yes, he reveals himself to Ravana, Shishupala, and everyone else also. So, when it says he's invisible and not discernible, that means normally he doesn't prefer to show his form to materialists. But at the same time, under obligation, he will reveal himself to the devotees, because he's brought under control by the devotees. So generally this anupalakshita sthana refers more to material world than to the devotees in the spiritual world. But even there, of course, ultimately it's the will of the Lord whether he appears or doesn't appear. He is also a special form of sattva-gun. So this sattva-gun is not the material sattva-gun. That sattva-gun is an aspect of prakriti, which is material. So the Lord is not this material sattva-gun. He's a special type of sattva-gun, that is spiritual nature, that is visuddha-sattva. So that is completely different from the sattva-gun of the material world. So if we say the Lord is sattva-gun, we shouldn't think of material sattva at all. It's called visuddha-sattva, distinction, special. So here it says sattva-gun vishesha. Vishesha means special. So it's a special type of sattva. So that is spiritual. And he is addressed here also as Bhagavan, Bhagavate Namaha. He is the Supreme Lord, which means the Supreme Lord in a form, possessing a form, and displaying his remarkable qualities and activities, so that the devotees can appreciate it. This is the form of Bhagavan, as opposed to Paramatma, who carries out creation and functions only. So he's a form who forms pastimes with his devotees and for the pleasure of his devotees. So, this Aryama is praising this form by offering his respectful obeisances to this form of Purma. So the inhabitants of this loop, along with Aryama, accept the spiritual nature of this form of Purma. So, the form of Purma is particularly different because it has the form of a turtle or a tortoise. And the tortoise is, of course, famous for moving very slow and more or less staying in the same place. Swimming in the water sometimes, or just sitting on the land, or whatever. And it was not a very active creature. But we do see in depictions of the universe, at the bottom of the universe, there's Shesha and others holding up the universe. We also see there's a big Kurma underneath holding up the universe. So, Kurma stands for stability. Yeah, he's so flat, you can put things on him. So, in this form, supported the mountain. A very convenient form, a nice flat surface, very stable form, which can also sit in the water as well as the land. So of course, Mandara Mountain is very big, but Kurma was even bigger than that. He was huge. And therefore you could support that mountain very, very easily without any difficulty. The other personalities, the devas and the demons, they have difficulty carrying that mountain to the milk ocean, what to speak of holding it in the ocean and letting it float. So, Kurma had no difficulty in supporting that mountain on his back. And of course, when that mountain was used as a turning rod, then it also turned around back and forth like this and scraped his back. But this didn't cause any problem for Kurma. It was a nice sensation. It was a sensation to relieve the tickling sensation on his back, so it was very good for him. So he enjoyed this pastime of having the churning rod of Mount Meru, of Mount Mandara on his back. In this form, he was a huge form, very powerful form, too, and conveniently flat on his back. Support the mountain so they could use that for churning and to float in the water, to hold it out of the water while they churned it. So he took a very remarkable form to do this, a huge form to do this, for the, ultimately, the benefit of the devas to conquer over the demons. So his form had a particular purpose, and that is to help the devas and defeat the demons by giving them the nectar. So it's a form of compassion of the Lord to the devatas. At the same time, by revealing this form, as in the form of Matsya and other forms, he revealed that in this form he is most beautiful. In spite of the fact that normally you don't think of turtles as beautiful, they don't have much of a form, they're just like a rock or something. But because he is the Supreme Lord, then he becomes the most beautiful also. He says pigs are not beautiful, but in the form of Varaha, and he's very, very beautiful. So similarly, the people worship this form because he is very, very attractive. In spite of having that in the form of a tortoise. So therefore it is said, that is priyatamam tanu, the body was very, very attractive to them. They were very attracted to that body of kurma, that form. So, therefore, this shows again that the Lord, in any form, becomes or is the most beautiful of all, and never deviates from that aspect of Him. So we know one of the qualities of Bhagavan is He has Shri. Shri means beauty, attractive form. So therefore, this form became attractive when the Lord assumed this turtle form. Well, that's iconography, which means how it is depicted through the artistic form. It may not be like that because it doesn't mention he had a body of Vishnu and or a head of Vishnu and a body like that. But just to indicate it is actually the Supreme Lord, then they will do that. So that's what we find a sculptural representation or artistic representation, which is accepted. So we'll find in Silvi Shastras, for instance, different rules and regulations and how to carve the forms and whatever. So I think that's permitted within that Shastras.
They have a head.
Sukadeva, yeah. Why particularly Aryama, I don't know, because Aryama is also connected with Yamaraj, because he took the place of Yamaraj when Yamaraj became Vidura. So Aryama took his place. So I don't know what the connection there is between Aryama and Kurma particularly. Well, he was one of them, obviously. The Devatas were all there, turning so among them, and of course others were also there. So why for him particularly, I don't know. Well, it's described like that in the Lagu Bhagavatam, the Rupa Goswami gives quotations in different Purans. It said they all have abodes in the material world, like Matsya and Kurma. They have their abodes somewhere up there, above Brahmaloka somewhere.
What are the inhabitants? They look like Kurma or that?
It's not mentioned. It's not mentioned what they look like.
In Vaikuntha, they say all the inhabitants look like.
Yeah. But then we'd have to have all the inhabitants of Vitrashringa looking like Narasimha. It doesn't look like it. It would rather they look like Prahladya. So I would assume they'd be human-like forms or deva forms because the worshippers of Kurma were devatas, etc. So I'd assume that would be the form they took. Or like Ramachandra, not everybody's green. So they can have various forms. But no, Virat Rupa is a material form. It's not a spiritual form. So that's completely distinct. It's material elements. Well, in the need of the situation, I suppose also, he limits the types of forms that he appears in, but he more or less spreads it out on different species of higher entities as opposed to insects and worms and things like that. At least he puts it on the higher species.
Thank you.